I don't know how many of you watch game shows anymore. I mean, you know, back when I was a kid, if you were ever sick and stayed home from school, that's all you did all morning long was watch, you know, game shows. That's all there was, right? And so, you know, I've watched a bunch of game shows in my lifetime. And even some of the game shows that are out there now, some of them have kind of this common theme where, you know, you're accumulating some money or you're accumulating some prizes, and then they offer you some kind of a deal, some kind of a, you know, if you take this deal and you can go home what you got, or we can do something else and you might get something a little bit more. And, you know, more often than not, what happens? Everything falls apart, right? I mean, there's this show now called The Wall. Have any of y'all ever watched The Wall? Anybody? Nobody has. Okay, all right. Well, there's a show called The Wall, if you're watching. They answer these questions. They get these big balls that they drop. It's almost like Plinko from, you know, Price is Right. They drop these balls down. They kind of bounce around into these different cash amounts. And the thing is, you got a partner that's sitting somewhere in a sound control booth. They don't know how you're doing. They don't know how much money you've accumulated. But at some point, somebody's going to hand them an agreement and say, okay, we're going to, if you sign this paper, we're going to give you however many $1,000 it is. Well, your partner might have racked up $1 million out there on stage, and you're back here going, oh, I don't know. I don't know how well they've done it, you know. Or your partner might have racked up $100 and they're going, we'll give you $200,000. And you're like, no. You know, it just, I mean, it's just kind of this stress-inducing thing as you're watching. Because you can't, you know, somebody's got to decide, is whatever it is that I can't see, is that better? Is that worth it? Is it worth sacrificing something to get that? Maybe one of the most famous kinds of these game shows, how many of y'all remember the old show, Let's Make a Deal? Anybody remember that? Okay, a few more hands for that one, right? And the whole thing about, I mean, one of the things that happened more often than not on Let's Make a Deal is, you know, this person would be accumulating some prizes, and they would have some stuff kind of built up, and then the host would say, okay, but we got this curtain over here, and there's something behind that curtain. And it could be something really awesome, even better than what you've already got, or it could be something really lame. You just don't know. We're going to make a deal. You want what's behind curtain number one, or you want what we got? Or maybe it's either two or three curtains. We'll give you this curtain or this curtain. You got to choose from it. And so often, you know, they would have some really good prizes kind of built up, and then they're like, ah, but I want what's behind curtain number one. And then they pull the curtain back, and it's some lame, like, just trash kind of stuff, you know, and just wah-wah, you know. And it was entertaining to watch, and you would sit there as a spectator, you know, just sitting on your living room couch going, ah, oh, what an idiot. Oh, I can't believe they did that. I would have kept all the prizes. I wouldn't have made that deal. And I want us to be thinking about that, because I think that happens to us maybe on a more regular basis in our everyday lives than what we pay attention to. That we have some things, we have some blessings, we have some things that God is pouring into our lives, maybe even recognize that we have a connection with Him. That as we just sang about, that is our all in all, that is better than anything else that we could ever hope for, and yet then we see something else, or we think we see something else, or somebody else that seems to have something better. There's something over there that's shinier, and we think, okay, but I want that. And then maybe that doesn't end up being as good as what we already had. Let's think about that for a few minutes. As Devin already said this morning, we started talking last week about getting uncluttered, about recognizing that we have a lot of clutter in our lives. And just to remind you, some of the things that we talked about last week, or if you weren't with us to kind of bring you up to speed, we talked about how we all have clutter in our lives. Sometimes it's clutter that we've created on our own. We've let stuff pile up. We've made decisions and choices. We've held on to things maybe longer than we should have. But some of the messes that we have to deal with, or some of the disorganization we have to deal with, sometimes that's brought into our lives by other people. It's not my clutter, it's somebody else's clutter, but it's bothering me. And we talked about how there's a difference that, you know, clutter, as we're talking about it, is not just having a mess. Sometimes messes happen. It's not just having disorganized piles of things, because sometimes you got to pile stuff up in order to get it organized. So sometimes the mess isn't the problem. It's when we get when those messes, when those accumulations of things become disruptive, they start getting in the way. We have to accommodate for them. They keep us from doing our job. They keep us from living in our home the way that we should. They keep us from getting more things that we might actually need because we don't have room for them. That's clutter. It's disrupting my life in some way. It's bothering my family. It's keeping me from doing my job, whatever it is. And so we talked about how there's that physical clutter that a lot of us have to deal with on a regular basis, but how we also, a lot of us have spiritual clutter, relationship clutter, things in our lives that are disruptive. They're keeping our marriages from being as healthy as they could be. Things that we're holding on to, that we're cluttering up our lives with, that are keeping our families what they could be. Things that are keeping our faith from what it could be. And we have to be honest about that. We have to acknowledge that and recognize there's clutter, there's junk that is building up, and I haven't paid attention to it. That's the other thing we talked about, is a lot of times clutter doesn't happen in just one fell swoop. I don't just walk in and dump a whole bunch of stuff and go, now I have a mess. It's usually little by little. It's a choice here. It's a decision there. And it starts to build, and it starts to grow. And I'm not even necessarily paying attention to the fact that it's becoming a problem until it is a problem. I might even recognize, I might get so used to the clutter that I don't even recognize that it is cluttered until somebody else points it out, or until I take the time to take a step back and go, man, look at the mess in this relationship. Look at the mess in my emotional health right now. Look at what's cluttering up my connection with God right now. And so as we're starting this new year, as we're starting 2026, we want to recognize the clutter in our lives. We want to learn how to do something with it and do something about it. And so that's what we started talking about last week, getting uncluttered. And I think one of the places that we get so much clutter built up, and I've mentioned before, I want to spend a little more time on it this morning, is the clutter that develops, in my heart. And here's what I mean by that. If you look through Scripture, it's obvious that one of the things that God wants from His people, that one of the things that God has always wanted from His creation, is our hearts. He's wanted that devotion. He's wanted that connection. He's wanted to be the most important thing in our lives. That's one of the things that He created us for. He created us in His image. He created us to be able to do good things and to do the things in this world that He would do, but also to be in connection, relationship with Him. And such a strong relationship that He is the most important thing to us. And if you go back, you know, back to the beginning of the Bible, you know, in the first few books of the Bible, is God, thousands of years ago, leads His people out of slavery in Egypt, hundreds of years of being slaves, and He leads them out, and Moses is leading them through the wilderness and brings them to this land that God is going to give to them that's better than anything that they've ever seen or experienced before. And God is getting ready to lead them into that land and to drive out the nations that are already living there. And He's already brought them through difficult circumstances and times without food and times without shelter and times they had to fight enemies that they weren't even fully prepared to fight. He is taking care of them to this point. And they're getting ready to go into what we call the promised land. And before they go in, Moses sits down with the people and with the leaders of the people, and he kind of reminds them of the relationship that they're supposed to have with God. And as God speaks to Moses, He says this in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. He says, "Oh, that their hearts would be inclined to fear me and to keep all my commands always, so that it might go well with them and their children forever." Look at the emotion that God is saying this with. Oh, I just wish that from this day forward, my people would love me. That I would be the most important thing in their life. That I would be the one that they would turn to. That I would be the thing that they would, the one that they would lean on. Above all other things, I want their hearts. I want their devotion. I'm going to give them livestock. I'm going to give them crops. I'm going to give them kids. I'm going to give them wealth. I'm going to give them all sorts of blessings. They're not even going to be able to count all the things that I'm going to do for them. I just want their hearts. Fast forward several hundred years. Jesus is talking with His disciples and with some people in the crowd, and He's asked the question, of all the commands in all the Scripture, which one's the greatest? And Jesus says in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, love the Lord your God with all your what? Heart. With all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the number one thing. Does God want obedience? Are there other rules? Are there other things that God wants from us? Are there certain choices that God wants us to make as we live our lives? Are there certain things that he wants to stay away from? Absolutely. But the number one thing that God wants from me is my love, my devotion, my heart. That's what he's always wanted. That's what he still wants above all else. He wants my heart. He wants my thoughts. He wants my focus. He wants my energy directed to him. Now, does that mean that I can't have possessions, that I can't spend time at work, that I can't focus on different relationships? Absolutely not. God blesses me with those things as well. I mean, the things that God puts into my life, the people that God puts into my life, those are supposed to be blessings. I'm supposed to be a blessing to them. They're supposed to be a blessing to me. But the problem is I allow those things to start to take over. They start to pile up. They start to build places of importance in my heart. They start to clutter my heart. I want that job promotion. I want to live in that neighborhood. I want to drive that car. I want to go on that vacation. I want my kids on that team. I want that award. I want those accolades. I want to be a part of that friend group. And the list could go on of the things that we see, the things that are behind the curtain, and we say, I want that more than this. And we may not even articulate it that way. We may not even realize that we're trading in a relationship with the creator of the universe who loves us with everything that he is and wants that kind of love from us. And we're trading that relationship and all the blessings that come with it, we're trading that in for something temporary and something that's not nearly as substantial. But we're convinced in our own mind that it means something, that it means more. And so we sacrifice our time and we sacrifice our thoughts and we sacrifice our marriages, we sacrifice our families, and we sacrifice our faith because we're chasing after something that we're convinced is more valuable than God. And the more that we do that, the more stuff that we get, the more job titles we attain, and the more things that we pile in, it just clutters. It clutters up our heart and keeps us from fully connecting with our God. And most of those things in and of themselves aren't bad. They're not evil. But they become a problem because they take my heart away from my God. Those things, that thing, whatever it is, that's what I give my heart to instead of him. That's where the problems come. And why do we do that? I mean, there's so many of us. I know they're going, but I want God to be the most important thing in my life. This is not just a church thing. It's not just songs that I sing. I really want that. I really want him to be so important. I really want to give God my heart. I really want him to have control. We're not lying about that. That's sincere. So why is it that we let the clutter build? Why is it that we give into these other things and pursue these other things? Well, I'll give you a few reasons. One reason might be that I'm trying to feel validation. I want people to see me as successful or important or talented or gifted or whatever it is. I want people to be impressed with me. I want people to compliment me. I want people to wish they were me. And that sounds prideful and that sounds arrogant, so we would never say that out loud. But that's where our heart is. That's what our desire is. My sense of value, my sense of worth, my sense of validation depends on what I think other people think about me. And so I will do whatever it takes to hold on to that, to attain that, to get that validation, because it makes me feel good about me. And it makes me think that other people are impressing me. And I need that. I have that need for validation. I have that need for people to pat me on the back. Maybe it's because I'm just trying to keep up. I see what other people have. I see the awards and the recognition that they get or that their kids get. I see the trips that they get to go on. I see the homes they live in. I see the cars that they drive. I see the clothes that they wear. I see their social media posts and how wonderful their life seems. And I want that. And I've got to keep up. I've got to get all that stuff myself. I've got to get in that kind of neighborhood. I got to get that kind of car. I've got to do those activities with my kids. I got to get the perfect picture for social media. I've got to create all that, manufacture all that, because I think that I need that too. I want what they have, and I'm trying to keep up with it. And so I'll pursue the job promotion, and I'll give in to the time constraints, and I'll fill my calendar with all the events that I think are so important. And I'll walk away from relationships that I really need to work on and really need to cultivate, because they're not going to improve my status. I'll sacrifice my family. I'll sacrifice my marriage. I'll take on debt because I just want to keep up with them. Maybe I'm just trying to fill a void in my life. There's just something I feel like is missing. There's some joy, there's some peace, some happiness that I just don't have. There's a sense of purpose in my life that's just, it doesn't feel full. And I think to myself, if I just had that job, if I could date that person, if I could live in that neighborhood, if I had that stuff, if I could take a hit of that substance, whatever it is, if I just had that thing, that would fill the void. That would make me feel complete. That would give me the joy that I've been looking for. That would give me the sense of purpose that I've been looking for. And so I can't give God my heart, at least not fully, because I'm trying to fill my heart with something else. I've cluttered my heart with the pursuit of something else. We allow our hearts to become cluttered. And if that's where you are this morning, as I have shared some of those things already this morning, you think to yourself, that's me. That's where I'm at. That's what's going on in my heart right now. Take hope. I've got good news for you. You're in a safe place. You're accepted here. Because I guarantee you, you're sitting next to or near someone who either has or is currently struggling with the same thing. Because we all deal with it. We all wrestle with it. We all struggle with trying to find validation, with trying to fill a void, with trying to keep up with other people. And we don't want to be there. We don't want our hearts to go there. We don't want to fill our hearts with all those things that ultimately don't really matter, but we let those things creep in. And we have to go through this process of cleaning it out. And a matter of fact, you see it through Scripture. You see a guy named Solomon, the God had given everything to. God made Solomon the richest man in his time. God made him the wisest man that had ever lived. And Solomon, if you read through his book called Ecclesiastes, Solomon even talks about all the things that he pursued instead of a relationship with God. All the things that he gave his heart to instead of giving his heart to God. And he gave it to possessions, and he gave it to power, and he gave it to sex, and he gave it to wisdom and knowledge and all these different things that he pursued. And it never filled the void. It just became clutter. There's a woman named Martha that we've talked about multiple times. And Luke chapter 10 describes Martha being in her house while Jesus is there with a bunch of disciples, and he's teaching, he's talking, he's sharing things. And Martha could be listening, could be sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what it is that he has to share, having her heart changed, having her life changed. But instead, she's busy. She's running around making sure everything's clean, everything, that she's a good host, that all the guests are being taken care of, that everybody's getting fed. And she complains to Jesus about it. But the whole thing is, she is filling her heart, filling her time, filling her mind with busyness. Why? I'm going to guess so that everybody else in that room would say, what a good woman Martha is. She's seeking that validation. Pat me on the back, compliment me, notice what a good job I'm doing. There's a guy that came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10 who had a whole bunch of wealth. And he also did really good things. He was a good person in society. He was a churchgoer. He kept all the rules. He kept the checklist. Everything was good. There's one problem. He loved his money more than he loved his God. He was consumed with his wealth. And see, there's a lot of people in scriptures. There's a lot of people throughout history. There's a lot of people in this church family that are seeking validation. They're trying to keep up. They're trying to fill the void. And so they give in to pursuit of possessions. They give in to addictions. They give in to stress and relationship changes. And those things creep in little by little and build up and create clutter. They disrupt our marriages. They disrupt our families. They disrupt our physical health, our mental and emotional health. They disrupt our faith. So, Devin was right. I'm going to give you some action steps this morning. What do I do with that? What do I do with this clutter that is building up in my heart that is keeping me from fully giving my heart to God? The things that I pursue in my life that aren't evil, but create clutter. What do I do with that? Well, first thing I got to do is I got to make a choice. I got to choose. Do I choose whatever that is, or do I choose God? It really comes down to those two things. Jesus said you can't have two masters. You got to pick one. You got to pick God or money. You got to pick God, or we can fill in the blank with all sorts of other things. Whatever the other thing is that seems important to me, it's either him or that. That takes control. It's either God or something else that fills my heart, that I devote my heart to. When God's people came out of slavery and into the promised land, and as they go through and God drives out these nations and they take control of this land, they're led by a man named Joshua. And at the end of his life, Joshua gets the Israelites together and he says, okay, you're in the land. God has rescued you from slavery. God has brought you through the wilderness. God has brought you into this land. He's given it to you. It's yours now. Now here's what you need to do. You need to choose. It says in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's the key thing about this. Joshua says, it is up to you. You get to choose. God wants your heart. God wants your devotion. God wants your focus. God wants to be the most important thing in your life, but he's not going to make that happen. That's your choice. That's my choice. I get to choose whether or not I fully commit my heart to God or allow my heart to be cluttered up by something else. That's my choice. So folks, when you take an honest look at my life and see, is there something that is cluttering my heart? Is there something that is keeping me from being fully devoted to God? If I want something to be different, if I want to clean that clutter out, the first thing I got to do is I got to choose. Do I really want to fully give my heart to him? Or am I wanting to still kind of hold on to some of this clutter? Because the second thing that I got to do when I make that choice, if I choose to fully give my heart to God, I got to let go of some things. I've got to let go of whatever it is that's disrupting my relationship with him. Whatever it is that I am convinced has become more important than him. And that sounds so simple. Oh, you got stuff cluttering your heart? Well, just let it go. Oh, okay. It's so much easier said than done. I acknowledge that. Especially when whatever it is, whatever that thing is that is cluttering my heart, isn't a bad thing. Whether it's my career, whether it's certain possessions, whether it's vacations, whether it's a certain relationship, whether it's the status that comes with my success, whether it's goals that I want to set for myself, whether it's just being proud of what my family, my friends, my kids are accomplishing. But when those things become more important to me than my God, that's a problem, and that's something that I've got to let go of. Jesus in Matthew chapter 13 tells a story about a guy who was a pearl merchant, who went around all over the place looking for and buying and selling pearls. It says in Matthew chapter 13, beginning verse 45, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away, sold everything he had, and he bought it. And look at what this guy did. He spent lots of time looking for and holding on to what he thought had value until he found the thing. Until he found the pearl. Until he found the thing of greatest value. And Jesus says, that is the kingdom of heaven. That is a relationship with God. That is being connected to God and in his kingdom. That has the greatest value. And this guy, when he found this pearl, what did he do with everything else? He sold it. He let go of it. Did it have value to him before? Absolutely. Did other people think, hey, that's got value, you need to hold on to those things? They probably did. But to him, none of that compared to what he had just found. Folks, does that describe my relationship with God? That's the question I got to ask. Am I willing to sell off, to let go of everything else? The accolades, the titles, the promotions, the stuff, the addiction, the relationship. Am I willing to let go of that because I so desperately want to have this connection with God? If I'm not ready to fully let go of the things that clutter up my heart and get between me and God, I'm never going to fully be able to participate in being in his kingdom, being fully connected in relationship with him. Until I choose to believe that my relationship with him is worth it. It's worth more than everything else. And the last thing, very quickly, I got to redefine what my purpose in life is. I got to redefine what it is that really matters. I got to redefine what it is that I'm really trying to accomplish or who it is that I'm really trying to be. Let me see if I can explain that a little bit better. There's a guy we talk about in Scripture a whole bunch of times. His name is Paul. And before Paul became a Christian, Paul was completely focused on himself and his career and his status. And in the book of Philippians, in chapter 3, Paul is looking back on his life. He's like, you know, there was a time when I was on the fast track as far as, you know, being a religious leader and being somebody that everyone else looked up to and everyone else wanted to be like. That was me. Paul says, I had titles. I was successful. I was kind of arrogant. I was looked to. I had all the answers to everybody's questions. Everything was going right. Everything was going right in my career and in my life. Until he met Jesus. And decades later, after he's been in this relationship with Jesus for a while, he looks back on his life. And he looks back at all the things that he used to pursue, at all the things that he used to define as success. This is my definition of meaning. This is my definition of purpose. This is my definition of having a good life. He looks back on that and look at what he calls it in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 8 and 9. He says, I consider those things garbage, that I may gain Christ. If you go back into the ancient Greek language that this particular scripture was originally written in, that word that we translate in our English Bibles is garbage. That is the only time in Scripture that Greek word is used. And it's a word that meant something that is completely worthless. It could mean garbage. It could mean trash. It could mean animal dung. It could mean just anything that is just worthless. I would never give anything for that. That's what Paul considers his former definition of success. Does that make sense? All the things that he said, if I pursue this, it's going to bring me joy. If I pursue this, it's going to bring me happiness. If I pursue this, it's going to bring me success. If I pursue this, it's going to bring me purpose and fulfillment. He says all of that is just trash. I'm redefining what my purpose in life is. What's your definition now, Paul? Look at verse 10 of Philippians chapter 3. I want to know Christ. That's my purpose. That's what means the most. That's where I find value. I've got to redefine what my goal in life is. I got to redefine what my purpose is. Because otherwise, I'm still going to hold on to the clutter. I got to choose. I got to let go. I got to redefine. Martha, I mean, Jesus even told Martha, you got a lot of things on your heart. You got a lot of things keeping you busy. You need to make a choice about what really matters. Jesus told the rich man in Mark chapter 10, you're doing some good things. You're doing some of the right things, but there's something else that's still cluttering your heart. It's your money. You need to let go of it. Solomon gets to the end of his life. And at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, Solomon says, here's the sum of everything. All the things I pursued, all the things I tried, I've found what really matters. He says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, fear God and keep his commandments. This is, a lot of our translations say, the duty of all mankind, the duty of all men. If you go back into the ancient Hebrew text that was originally written in, like some of our English Bibles even have brackets around the word duty there, or obligation, because we've added that word. The actual Hebrew word that Solomon says there, In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, fear God and keep his commandments, be in a relationship with God. This is the whole of man. This is what completes man. This is what makes us complete. This is what fills our lives, to be connected in a relationship with God, to give our hearts to him. That's what Solomon says. He pursued everything else because he defined everything else as filling, as needful. And he says, you know what? I got to the end of it, and I had to redefine my definition of success. I had to redefine my definition of purpose. What completes me is pursuing a relationship with him. So I got to make a choice. Now I got to start letting go of some of this clutter. And I got to redefine what it is that I'm really seeking in life, and what's really going to give me joy and peace and purpose and fulfillment. I got to choose to give my heart to God. Everything else is just clutter. We need to wrap up this morning, but I did want to tell you, just as I was working on this week, it just reminded me, I grew up an auctioneer's son. Now, my dad preached it at a church every single Sunday most of my life, but he also, for a significant portion of my life, was a full-time auctioneer. And some of those estate sales that he had, you know, going to these houses, and he would sell the house itself, and he would sell maybe the contents of the house, you know, these estate sales, you know, had to do a lot of those when I was growing up. And often, you know, especially if it was someone or maybe a couple that was older and they had been living on their own, there was a lot of clutter that built up in some of those homes. And I remember one in particular, there was this house, and my dad was going to sell the house, but he's going to sell all the contents and stuff too. And he goes into the house, and it was a widow woman, so her husband had died some years before, and then she'd been living by herself for a long time, and she had just kind of become a hoarder. Little by little, she just started accumulating stuff and never threw anything away. And by the time my dad is going into this house to sell it, she had passed away, and so he's going to sell this estate. And he goes into the house for the first time, and there is, I mean, it's, you know, probably, I'm going to guess, around a 1,800 square foot house at least, multiple rooms in it. There is a path through the whole house to get from room to room with stacks of newspapers that were lined on both sides, probably 4 or 5 feet high. And you had to weave your way through this maze to get into the different rooms. And he and some of his staff went in, they spent a whole day. He rented a dumpster, like one of those big construction dumpsters, you know? And they filled it and had it hauled away and brought back, and they filled it with more clutter. It's just piles all the way up to the ceiling in some of these rooms. Once they got all the trash out of the way, they found buried underneath all that stuff beautiful antique furniture, incredibly valuable antique dishes. Beautiful flooring. The fireplace had these handcrafted porcelain roses on the mantle. It was a beautiful home and beautiful stuff in it. But nobody would have ever known that. Why? Because of all the clutter. And he had to go in there and get all that out so you could see the beauty underneath. I share that with you this morning because I don't know what kind of clutter is in your heart right now. But I know sometimes, I can't get rid of that clutter on my own. It takes somebody else to come in and to see it and to get rid of it. And that's what my God promises to do. That's what Jesus can do. He can walk into my heart and go, man, this is a mess, but I can make this better. And I can find what's really good in this heart, and I can connect with you, and we can have a beautiful, beautiful relationship. Just let me get some of this other junk out of the way. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, we're getting ready to stand up and sing a song together about our hearts. And I want to ask you to be honest with yourself as we sing this morning. Is there something, maybe several things, that are cluttering my heart right now that are keeping me from fully connecting with my God? And if there is, would you be willing to come share that with this church family? You can just walk to the front, share that with us. We won't judge you. We won't criticize. We will love and pray and forgive and help any way that we can so that you can allow Jesus into your heart to clean it out. Don't leave here this morning with your heart still full of all that junk. Let him clean it up today and let this church family help if we can, while together we stand and sing. Turn.